going to go ahead and get started. James, I'm going to introduce you.
I'd like to introduce you.
Well, come on.
Okay. I wanted to. Yeah.
We'd love for you.
Yeah.
I'm not going to set you here.
All right, guys. Are we shushing and sitting down, please? So this next couple, also very near and dear to me, Terry and Carrie Cutbirth, are going to share with us about spiritual intimacy in marriage.
Father, we just thank you for this time. We're most thankful for you, and we thank the Lord for this relationship that Terry and I have that has been given by you as a gift to us. And so we're deeply grateful for that. Yes, we've spent time preparing on this, Father, but what's most important is what you're going to say for this evening. So we just invite you to come and speak to us tonight. And we just thank you that it'll impact people because it's your words and not ours. So we just thank you for this time to be with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So Terry and I met actually on a blind date. We had a mutual friend. And I pick her up, go to Dave and Buster's. And I go up and to the host said, I need a day. He said, it'll be about 45 minutes. I said, no problem. I think we can just sit and chat for a bit. So I go to Terry and I say, hey, it's going to be about 45 minutes. And she goes, I get mean when I get hungry. I said, I'll be right back. So I go to the guy and I said, I'm on my first date. Matter of fact, it's a blind date. You got to find me a place right now. I don't care where it is. And he goes, well, I can get you at the bar. And I said, that's beautiful. We'll take it. You know? So
that changed a lot.
Yes. Yeah, and that's a very unexpected response. You know? That I get me. I wasn't sure what I was in for. So, John and Kim, you did such a great job. Appreciate you guys having shared about the emotional and the friendship and the love and how God has restored that relationship over time. Kim, your willingness to take that step of faith, and then God just brought it all together and has built it to a beautiful relationship today. And it's wonderful that you can spend any time with anybody, the two of you want to be together. Is that not an incredible work of God to do that for you? And James and Carrie, thank you so much. You know, where you started, and you're hurt, and you're separate, and you've dug a hole, and then God, you just allow him the opportunity and freedom to work and to bring that physical intimacy back in. And so we really appreciate it. It's kind of a vulnerable topic, you know, to get into, but we appreciate you sharing that, so thank you so much. So Terry and I chose John 17:3 as a spiritual intimacy verse. It says that, and this is eternal life, that they may know the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, his Son, who he sent. To know that eternal life is this. They talk about it. It's here, but it's eternal. We're being prepared for eternity to spend with God. And it starts here, that eternal life, right now. So spending time with him is probably the greatest pursuit any of you will ever have in your days on this earth. Is pursuing Jesus Christ and God in intimacy with him. Because everything flows from that relationship, or doesn't flow. If you don't have it, it's not being developed. So, what we're going to share is what our journey has looked like. And so, many of you have your own journey. Maybe some of you are not sure if you have spiritual intimacy, or what it looks like. And so, but we're just going to give you a picture of how we got to where we are today. Because we did not always have spiritual intimacy as a couple. And, Lowell, can you get the next for us? We came across this on Focus on the Family. We thought it was kind of an interesting way to look at the emotional, the physical, and the spiritual. And it says that emotional and physical attraction is what drew you together. But the spiritual connection is what keeps you together. And I don't know that the spiritual is, it's important, but God is so purposeful. And all three of these have purpose, the emotional and the physical and the spiritual. So And just we just thought that was kind of a neat way to illustrate all three of these. And what we have found is that having our spiritual intimacy and the ongoing pursuit of intimacy and pursuing Jesus Christ as a couple has taken our relationship to a much deeper level. And I would say at times that I don't even really know that I have words adequate enough to describe God, because He is so amazing and so incredible. And all I can say about our spiritual intimacy and where we are today is that we just feel it and we sense it and we know it's there. But sometimes it's just hard to describe what that spiritual intimacy and that connection really looks like. But I think spiritual closeness or intimacy, it can look different. You know, maybe it's you might think that it's attending church. That's a wonderful thing. Maybe it's sharing the same spiritual beliefs. That's a good thing. Maybe it's praying at dinner time. That's a good thing. But what we would ask is you think about spiritual intimacy and where you are. Just talk about it. What does it look like? Try to figure out what it looks like for you to be spiritually intimate as a couple. And for us, spiritual intimacy started with spending time together in God's Word, and it helped us to connect with each other spiritually. But then we began to experience God together, and not just individually. So we started individually pursuing Jesus Christ, but we weren't together as a couple. And if that makes sense, it seems spiritual. It's like we were not together in pursuing it. And so during the first 10 years of our marriage, you know, we would pray together sparingly. We would spend a little bit of time in the Word together. But then it's not like we weren't doing spiritual things, but we just, we needed something that would be more meaningful spiritually, and we were just lacking. We just, in a sense, we're lacking something deep spiritually between the two of us.
Well, I'm not sure Gary really realized we were lacking it, which we'll get into. About 10 years into our marriage, we did an assessment out of Intimate Encounters, which somebody held up both those books and showed them already. And one of the things that we did was the spiritual assessment, which we handed out, and y'all are going to look at it later. We did all three. We did assessments of emotional, physical, and spiritual. And in our assessment, we were aligned in the emotional and the physical areas, but a little surprisingly to Gary, we were not in agreement about where our marriage was spiritually. I rated us kind of low in that area. So a little background on our first 10 years of marriage. Gary had a very consistent relationship with the Lord, consistent quiet time in the morning, a lot of time in the Word. He was involved in a ministry and meeting with men for several years. When I met him, I had been having some good, steady spiritual growth. But I didn't have a real consistent personal quiet time. As we kind of went through those first 10 years of marriage, I would say we were both pretty sold out to spiritual things. You know, we were trying to train our children spiritually. We spent some time in the Word together. We prayed. We came here every year. I mean, we had some spiritual stuff going on. It was a part of our life. So given all that, you might think that we would just naturally have some pretty good spiritual intimacy together in our marriage, but we didn't.
And so I think looking back on this, I was blind to our spiritual intimacy. And with this spiritual assessment that we took, and quite honestly, I didn't like her grading. You know, it was lower than mine. But it was a wake-up call for me, because this was an area that that we were missing, and I didn't know we were missing. You can have a lot of ministry going on, but that doesn't mean as a couple that you are spiritually intimate, because that's activity, and those are all good things, and you're investing time in people. And we were investing time individually in the Word of God, but we were not investing time in God as a couple. We were not sitting still before Him as a couple. And so, yes, we were intentional about our physical intimacy. I see here Terry has an intimacy super important, smiley face. So that's a good thing. Yes. We were intentional about our emotional intimacy and our friendship and loving one another, but we just weren't as focused on the spiritual intimacy. And when I look at that, I think we were stagnant. We weren't growing spiritually as a couple. And so we also wanted to just encourage you that it doesn't matter where each of you are and spiritually if you're in Christ. That what we want to encourage you is to just start somewhere. You know, and it doesn't matter where you are, who's here and who there, that doesn't matter to God. You know, because it's individual, but now you're trying to figure out on a spiritual level. And as I mentioned the other night when I was making an introduction for Ken and John, is that the Martin Luther King quote. He says, don't look at the top of the stairs. Look at that first stair. Take that first step of faith. Start that journey. And you don't know what it's going to look like. And that's okay, because God does know. But you want to give Him a chance as a couple to work His life into you as a couple. And so, as a spiritual leader in our home, I felt like it was my responsibility to... I say it to correct course. I don't even think we were on a course. There was nothing to even correct. We weren't even going anywhere spiritually. So I had to, refer with me, to take that first step and begin the journey of developing spiritual intimacy as a couple.
Okay, so I want to talk about the actions that we took. If you've gone through Intimate Encounters, you've probably heard about the staff meeting. And that's not what this is. Staff meeting is where you meet fairly regularly and you talk about your schedule, running your home, what you need to do, and that kind of thing. Your affairs of life. So, as Gary said, he decided to be purposeful and intentional and lead us in some spiritual intimacy, and he kept it really simple. So he suggested going through a devotional together. And he picked The Purpose-Driven Life, and it had 40 short chapters in it. So what it looked like for us was we decided essentially weekly, it wasn't every week, but that's what we shot for, was that we met together and we would read 1 2-3-page chapter. And, it could be like he read a paragraph and then I read a paragraph. He read a paragraph, I read one. So we read through it together and then we talked about it. So that started for us the first time on a regular basis, talking about spiritual things and the Word and hearing one another about spiritual things. And so that's just how we chose to do it. You know, there's many options out there. And after a while of meeting like this in our devotional time, we started ending with a very short prayer. And I think Gary just did the praying. So we've continued for 20 years now to read and talk our way through numerous books, devotionals, chapters of the Bible, over the last 20 years. And one of the things that I thought was kind of cool, when our kids got to a certain age where we could leave them at home, we started doing this in coffee shops. So we went to coffee shops and had our time together and took our book with us and sat there and really enjoyed a relaxing time focused on one another.
Well, we're going to the next slide up, please. Romans 15:13. It's such a great verse. May the God of all hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Dave mentioned this morning that God is a personal God. And Terry and I had developed spiritual intimacy. I'm not sure if this would have had the same impact if we weren't where we were spiritually. In the workshop we led this morning, we were talking about the challenges we had with one of our sons. Very rebellious, very in your face. It was just years of suffering. It was heart crushing. The evil one was just absolutely relentless at times in his attacks on us. And you would wonder, when does this end? And this verse, I'm just in my daily reading, and this is what I love about God. He is so purposeful, and he's got all this stuff planned out. And at the right time, he gives you what you need. And I'm sitting there, and I come across this verse, and I think, Lord, this is absolutely perfect. This is what we need in this moment. We need encouragement, and your word is speaking that encouragement. It is speaking hope to us that we would overflow with power of the Holy Spirit to re-energize us, you know, in the game, because this game gets exhausting sometimes. And I'm not sure if we had not been where we were as a couple, spiritually intimate, I don't know if I would have gone to Terry, not with this verse. I might have just kind of thought, well, that's pretty awesome, God. You're really speaking to me. But because we were one spiritually, I felt like she needs to hear this word of God. She needs to be encouraged. And so we both memorized this verse, and it really helped us as we wrestled and struggled and suffered through the pain of this rebellious son. So, Lord, we go to the next slide, please. So we chose four verses that have different perspectives of the Word of God. And these glasses are kind of blurry from here. But I think I can do it. Let's see here. It says, as the rain and snow come from down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out of my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but it will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. Again, here is this word, purpose. God is very purposeful with his word. As he speaks the word, as we have his written word. And he's comparing it and using an illustration of what rain and snow do. They water the earth, and then the earth can give growth and food for us. And we can drink, and we can be fed by it. So it's very purposeful when it goes out, and it will always, 100% of the time, accomplish what God has purposed in his heart for that word when it goes out. Hebrews 4:12, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword, penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and the attitudes of our heart. You can't get any deeper into a person than their marrow, but this is where the word of God is going. It is going deep into our soul, and it is bringing about change. And it is judging us, and it's bringing conviction when it needs to bring conviction to us in our heart and our thoughts that go on. And then Jesus is talking about the word of God. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my word will never pass away. It is eternal. Spending time in the word of God has eternal value. There's only two things of eternal value: people in the word of God. So Jesus is telling you everything else is going to be gone. My word will not. So spend time, invest time in my word. And then in Romans 12:2, do not be conformed to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, and you'll be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Several years ago, we had John Ridgway here. John was an astrophysicist. And he talked about the word of God. And as it begins to get into us through either reading or meditating or studying it or memorizing it or hearing it, that as it gets into us, it is literally cutting new paths in our brain. And that is what the transformation, that is what God is doing with his word. He is moving us away from being conformed to the word, to the world. And he is cutting new patterns into our mind, and he is transforming it with his word. So that then that begins to really get a hold of us, and it begins to change us, conforming us to the image of Christ. So along the way, we started incorporating coming together regularly as a couple to pray. And this was separate from the devotional time. So we've added another kind of prong to our spiritual intimacy. It's for the devotionals, but now we're also beginning to pray together. So, we had to work out some kinks when we were praying together. Because we would come together, and I just start laying it out. And I'm going, and I'm thinking, I am rolling, I'm hot, man, this is right on, I'm being led by the Spirit. And I get done, and it's just silent. And I'm like, well, Terry, you going to say? Well, no, you just said everything that anybody said. Because you don't give me an opportunity to pray. You just think you got to pray all this stuff. And so I said, okay, what would you like?
I said it more nicely than that. I'm pretty sure.
This is a dramatic license. So I said, what would be most meaningful to you? She goes, well, why don't you pray for two or three things and then just be quiet? And let me pray for two or three things and then I'll be quiet. So she helped me begin to learn how to pray with her so that it would be a more effective prayer. And she felt like we were together. We could be intimate because of the way I was praying, there was no spiritual intimacy in that. She did not feel like we were together. So I appreciated her being willing to share with her heart with me. So, Lowell, if you go to the next slide, please. Back up. There we go. Great, thank you. So, one of the things, if you think about, man, how do we even begin to pray with one another? We actually use this when we pray. I mean, we're not sitting here thinking, you know, okay, now let's do adoration. We're not thinking, doing that. But we use this as a way to help us to pray together. And we start by giving God praise, which is what the adoration is. And then we enter into confession if there's anything that we need to pray about. In Psalm 19:12, I came across that verse a while back. And it says that I have sins I've committed I don't even know about. And I need to ask God to forgive me. And then my sinful nature would not rule over me, so that I would be blameless. But that's His work. That's not my work in that. And then giving thanks for everything that we can think of. Hard things, suffering things, and good things. And then praying for others. You know? So it's just a neat little way to think about prayer.
So when you pray together, I think one of the things that really helps with spiritual intimacy is you hear the heart of the other person. You hear them express their thanksgiving to the Lord, their confession, who else they're praying for. So it really does add another level of intimacy between spouses to pray together like that. And one thing that we wanted to note was that it seemed like for us to not fall off of our time together, whether it was our devotional time or our prayer time, that Gary, as the leader, had to stay intentional. And so he got where he would, you know, shoot me a text and say, I'd like to pray tonight or tomorrow night. So he gave me a heads up, and, you know, we had it on the schedule, and we stayed focused on it, on making it happen. And then our devotional type time together, you know, we pretty much do that one weekend day a week. So that's pretty set for us. And the other thing that has happened as we've kind of journeyed on these last 20 years of working on our spiritual intimacy is that we much more readily move to suggesting that we stop and pray together right now in the moment if we're talking about something that we feel like needs to be prayed about. For example, we were laying in bed one night, you know, a couple of weeks ago, and talking about something going on with one of the kids, and you know, I could kind of feel that, you know, that anxiety was kind of starting to bubble up a little bit and get a little stressed about it, and so I just reached over and held his hand, and I said, let's pray about it. And we do that much more often now than as we progressed in our spiritual intimacy.
So probably, you know, at a certain time, we've got our emotional going, we're praying together. I'm feeling pretty good about our spiritual intimacy. We've got a nice little roll going. But I was still missing something that I didn't realize what I was missing. Terry had a need for corporate worship. I didn't have the need. And I was so careless with her and so negligent in this need that she had for corporate worship, because she loves the music and she loves the teaching and the fellowship. I didn't have the need. So I just kind of shoved her to the side. I wasn't paying. I didn't, in a sense, I just didn't care. And so, and she would come to me some days, like on a Saturday, very sheepishly, and say, "Do you think we could go to church tomorrow?" And I'm thinking, after a while, I thought, dang, dude, your wife is almost afraid to come and ask me to go to church with me. And so I just had a terrible attitude about it. But what I appreciate and have always appreciated about Terry is that she's willing to speak the truth in love to me. And so she did. And she spoke the truth in love.
So I said, in maybe it was like October or November of 2019, I said, "I want to go to a home church in January 2020.
I heard that. Paid attention to that. And so we started going to a home church. And so really, I have just been a hindrance for Terry's need for corporate worship. Ultimately, it impacted us in our spiritual intimacy. This was a piece that we were missing. And I was failing to miss that, this need for Terry that she had. And so probably by now, you're beginning to see a pattern where I need Terry to help me to course correct. Okay, we've had three areas that she's had to come to me, and we, you know, to do these things. So gentlemen, I just encourage you, you know, be willing to hear your wife and what she has to say. And pay attention to that. It's important. I think God uses our wives to help us continue to grow and to course correct what we need to course correct.
Okay, so we just wanted to share the steps that we went through as we got started. And they were actually very simple, but each one had to happen or we wouldn't have gone the journey. First, we were willing to do the assessment of our marriage through intimate encounters. And you don't have to wait to join an intimate encounters group for 12 weeks or 16 weeks to go through this and do the spiritual intimacy. It was a very simple, basic assessment, and that's where you answered like 5 questions and you marked where you thought you were on a continuum line, and then that's when we realized our scores were different. And so the next step was we were willing to have a conversation about it. We were both willing. I was willing to explain why I thought where we were. Gary heard me. He was willing to talk about it. I mean, he didn't like it because he kind of felt like he was failing in that area, but he still was willing to enter into the conversation.
And I never felt like Terry was attacking me. I just, again, felt like she was being very honest and open with me, and I appreciated that about her. So she handled how she spoke to me very graciously.
And like we said, he was willing to take the lead and proposed an idea. And like we said, his idea was meeting together weekly to read through a devotional. And so this is very important. I agreed. You know, I was willing to go with his suggestion and do it. So I wanted to share a kind of a cool quote from a book I'm reading called The Water Keeper. That kind of has to do with leading and following. This is a fiction book, but it's got a little bit of a spiritual twist to it. But the quote is, "Two can't lead. By definition, the leader is only leading when someone is following. If no follower, then no leader. If you're leading, then you're judged by how well another follows. They need each other." So that was kind of a picture of that quote, was that we needed each other to make this change and start this journey. So we did pass out the assessment, and we have enough time, so we'd like for you to take 5 minutes and do the assessment while you're in here with us. And if we have a couple of extra minutes, then maybe you can start a conversation. But if you'd go ahead and do the assessment.
If you don't have one, let us know.
Anybody need a pen?
Dana has pens.
Individually talk about it later.
Well, I mean, if you had a chance, you could talk about it now, but yeah, each one's supposed to have your own.
Hey, Lois, can you hear this? guys, we're going to go ahead and move on. Hopefully this will give you an opportunity that will generate some discussion for you about where you are in your spiritual intimacy, how you see individually you are as a couple in spiritual intimacy. So just to review with you some things that we felt like we learned is that it's really important to be proactive in this stuff. And God began to really create intimacy for us spiritually that we did not have before. And like I said earlier, it is the spiritual intimacy that God has given us is sometimes just hard to explain, you know, what exactly, but we feel it and we sense it, and we know that we are more deeply connected than we were when we just had our own individual intimacy with God. So then I learned to listen to my wife, you know, and the things that were important to her spiritually. So I encourage that to be open-minded to either one of you, that you both be open to what the other has to say, what's important to them. I think it's important to stay consistent in this stuff, because I can tell you what we've experienced. The evil one doesn't like this. He doesn't like us in the Word. He doesn't like us in our devotionals. He doesn't like us praying together. And notice he's going to come against you, that you feel tired. Maybe you'd rather watch Netflix or something. Or maybe you got something else that pops up. Or whatever. The evil one has a lot of things to come against you. And I'm not going to say that we hit it every time. There are sometimes we don't win that out. But we, as often as we can, we try on a weekly basis to be consistent in these things, but we don't hit it every time.
And for me, I really enjoy our times together, our times in the Word together, to sit and read something, read some scripture, read a devotional, and talk it through and hear what Gary's thoughts are. And he seems to enjoy hearing what my thoughts are. So it's become a very special part of our marriage to me. I definitely think it opened the door for a much deeper level of communication that we did not have before. And also, as we talked about in the workshop this morning, being spiritually intimate with one another and spiritually connected will be super important when the challenging seasons come and hit your marriage. And then one last thing, if one of you is interested in this and one of you is not, we would just like to encourage the one that's not to be willing to enter into the needs of the other, as Gary was willing to hear me at various times and enter into meeting that need. So we would just ask you to consider that.
So we just hope your takeaway will be that, you know, when you return, that if you need a point of beginning, you'll find a point of beginning, and you'll take that first step of the journey of developing spiritual intimacy with one another. And again, it's not a marriage. Sat meetings are very important, but that's not what this is. This is not that. It's focused solely on the Word of God, and it's focused on prayer, focused on intimacy with Jesus and pursuing Jesus. And so, Walt, can you go back to the very first slide, please? So John 17:3, and this is eternal life, that they may know you, the one and only true God, and Jesus Christ, his Son, whom he sent.
So when we were preparing for this, I told Gary that I would really like to try to find a song that portrayed what we're trying to share with y'all. Because, you know, a lot of times music can get you at another level of understanding, kind of hit your heart in a different way. And so we picked a song that we think is a beautiful description of the marriage relationship between husband and wife, and the relationship between a believer and Jesus. So we think it touches on all three areas, emotional, physical, and spiritual intimacy. So we just hope that you enjoy it. Thank you.
Does anybody have any questions? Or a comment, maybe, right quick.
We have time for questions.
Just briefly before we play a song.
Well, yeah, I've heard a lot of great nuggets and on multiple things during these discussions over the last few years. Things like the weekly meeting and now spiritual time and praying together. And a lot of times, though, what I hear from couples who maybe their kids have gone out of the house, right? They're further along in life, so they got a lot of wisdom to share. But like sometimes when we're in our 30s and 40s, and we got kids running all over the place, it's like a war zone. We're trying to get from everywhere. Like, if you were to prioritize, I mean, I guess it's hard to say that, but if you had to prioritize looking back at it, like, what things were more essential? Like, if you could do it all over again, if you could put them in order, what would you get after first? The spiritual component, making sure you're on the same page from a calendar perspective, having the weekly staff meetings, and then maybe, like, regular sex. Like, when you look back at that, what things would you say, and you absolutely have to make sure these things are happening? Because sometimes you might not be able to get to them.
I'd say it's spiritual.
Okay.
If I were looking back, I would start there. Personally, for me, I think that everything flows from that, from that relationship with Jesus, being able to love her and be a friend with her, being able to have a physically intimate relationship with her. For me personally, it has flown out. It flows out of that intimacy with Jesus Christ. So I would have pursued that with her a lot earlier, because there is just a connection we have now that we didn't have in the very beginning. We didn't have spiritual intimacy that we have today, so that's what I would go after.
Okay.
Would be that.
Anything else? Okay.
Thank you, Lola. You can go ahead and roll this song. And you're going to see the lyrics, which is why we chose this, and then it'll be done. We hope enjoy it.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Gary and Terry, thank you so much for sharing. It was really wonderful. And John and Kim, thank you as well. And Carrie, thank you for sharing. I think these are all wonderful messages we've heard over the past couple of days. A couple of announcements before we go. Let's not forget, just kind of plug it again, the book table, and also very important, the pickleball sign-up sheet. We could love to have more participants there, or however many we have already. And then, more importantly, tomorrow is Garner for the teenagers, for the teen kids. And we have like 43 or 48 kids. It's huge. We don't have enough drivers. And so we need to get this straight real quick. Can I get a show of hands on who can drive or is willing to drive? Thank you, David. It's one. I feel like a bidding guy. Okay, thank you. That's two, three, four. We can only have 10 cars, so we're six short right now. We have... Okay, so that's five. Good deal. With five, anybody else able to? You kind of got to hang. Yeah. Right. It's kind of a little bit of drive, actually. It's an hour or so. I want to say it's an hour. It's about an hour away. Okay, so we got five so far. If you would, please pray about it. We really probably need some help there. And if you do decide so, please see Meredith. Meredith, right over here. If you would, Meredith. Yeah. Room five. That's right. Pheasant Run. Yeah. If y'all swing by there and let her know. Just think about it. We could use some more help. Last quick note. We did have somebody I heard get bit by a scorpion here. And so let's be really careful. I don't mean to like scare anybody, but I just want you to be aware. They actually got bit in their bed. So let's kind of keep an eye out. So why wouldn't I need to add that? Like, wouldn't you want to know that it was there? Well, Scott, come here, man. Come here. Well, come here. I don't know that. I don't know where it was in the bed. I don't know if it was sitting on the edge, under the covers. Not sure. Right, as a runner with later. What are we talking? What room? Yeah. Anyway, just be aware. Yes. Oh, sorry, I didn't see that. Oh, in the morning one. Okay, so tomorrow morning. It is tomorrow morning. Is that what you're saying? Oh, the note. Got it. So tomorrow after lunch, there's a ladies' float. So bring your float and meet down by the rope swing. Where's the rope swing at? Oh, the rope swing. Yeah. Rope swing. Meet down just next to the Mo slide. Meet down there, and the ladies are going to have a little float. It's tomorrow.
At what time? After
lunch?
What's like 1:30? 1:30.
We do baptisms tomorrow. That is 4:30, and that is... Yeah, at the pavilion, which, quite frankly, the dam, it's right there at the dam. That is the pavilion. I'd love to have, quite frankly. Thank you, Tara. So, all right, any other helpful announcements or things we need to talk about? Dean, what you got?
What time is the float?
1:30.
1:30, down by the slide?
Down by the slide. Bam, by the river. All right. Oh, Tara. That's a good question. So is it specific? Is your concern about the bite from the scorpion or the bite from the scorpion in the bed? In the bed. First tip it, get out of the bed. Second, kill the scorpion. Who do you call? Great question. Dan. Hold on one second. It's worse than a bee sting, right? There it is. Scott, it's going to destroy you. If you get bit by a wolf, it's going to happen. Oh, is there a nurse? Where is that?
You go to registration.
Oh, one other quick note. There is actually a nurse here, apparently. If you go to the registration desk, you can call the nurse, Scott. In the middle of the night, Scott. Up from Kerrville, Scott. All right, thanks, guys.